Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Wretched. We are at the University of Georgia. That would be in Athens. Why are we not in the studio? Because we are out here on the campus. We want to talk to kids and potentially witness to them. And excuse me, young man, would you come here for a moment? What's your name, young man? Chase, take a seat. Chase, where are you from?
Cleveland, Tennessee.
Tennessee, you must live on campus then.
No, I'm a junior. I'm a transfer student from Tennessee, so I live at the flats, actually.
All apartments off campus. Because you're a junior. When you're a freshman here, you have to live on campus, right?
Yeah, we did the same thing at Tennessee as well.
Okay, what's the thinking behind? Why do they force that for freshmen?
At least in my opinion, I like that they do it. When you come in, you're coming in from all different places. You don't really have that support group that you used to have, and nobody does in those dorms. So everyone's coming in looking ready to find new people and stuff. And it's just a good...
It helps them.
Yeah, a point. So.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, here's what I was talking about. Talking about rights, all right? I was talking to the Judiciary Committee over there, specifically about my right to say things. So I want to ask you if you think it is okay for me to say these statements. So I'm going to give a statement or two, and then you just tell me if you think I have the right to say that, all right? Uh-huh. I think your blue shirt is ugly.
I'd say you have the right to say it.
Fair enough. I believe that, where was it, Tennessee, yeah. Knoxville?
Cleveland, Tennessee.
Cleveland, Tennessee. I think that's a terrible town.
You have the right to say that, too?
I don't like the color of your skin.
You have the right to say it. It doesn't mean, at the same time, I have the right to say I disagree. But you have the right to say it, yeah.
I think that abortion is wrong. Do I have the right to say that?
I'd say you have the right to say it, yeah.
What religion are you?
I'm atheist, actually.
I think that being an atheist is wrong.
You have the right to say it, too.
Wow, that's refreshing. That's really great. Okay, but now I'm intrigued. Not many people say they're atheists these days. Usually I hear agnostic, but not atheist. But you're definitive about this.
In my own opinion, yeah. But anything could happen. One day there could be an event that changes my mind. I'm open for anything.
How open?
Very open. I mean, in any, who wouldn't want to believe in, you know, a place that's just awesome? So
you're kind of an unusual guy. I find you very refreshing.
I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to try to convert you to becoming an agnostic.
That's fine.
All right, here we go. Let's see if we can get you to backslide, because atheist means no God. Agnostic is simply, I don't know for sure.
Well, I guess that is kind of the truth. I don't really know for sure, but if I had to kind of pick a side to be on currently, I would lean more towards atheist, just because, I don't know, it's just where I view it in that opinion.
But without all knowledge of everything that has ever happened in the universe, what's going on the dark side of the moon, you don't possess all knowledge, so God could exist. You just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think, like, I will ever have that kind of all knowledge. So you just kind of have to go with what you got. And so
let me keep pushing with you. Do you mind?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let me try. I'm going to address a certain part of your brain. I'm going to go for your intellect. I'm going to go for your logic and for your reason. I don't think so. All right, here's my logic and my reason to prove to you that God exists. Your backpack is proof.
How so?
Well, I asked you, where did this backpack come from? What would you say?
Probably Switzerland, I think.
Okay, Switzerland, probably some backpack factory. Switzerland, really? Nice. Okay, so it was manufactured. You would believe that it was manufactured in a factory.
I'd assume so.
Have you ever been to Switzerland?
I have not. Wish so.
It's nice. It's really nice. It's not cheap, but it's very nice.
I love to go.
Yeah. But you haven't been to the factory that made that backpack, yet you know somebody made the backpack. It's intuitive because, well, obviously that thing didn't happen by itself. I look at the creation, and I look at the leaves on the trees, and I'm watching your blue eyes look up and able to actually grasp that information, translate it, think it through in your brain, understand the colors, what you believe about this type of tree, all kinds of things flying through your brain, all through your eyes, which have 100,000 light-sensitive cells all coordinating to get that information in. Your eyes are more sophisticated than your backpack. We concluded there must be a backpack maker because there's a backpack. I conclude there must be an eye maker because you got eyes that are magnificent.
I'd assume, first off, I don't know if I would compare eyes with backpacks in some ways, but I didn't see the person make the backpack. I didn't see the person make the eyes. So I could assume, possibly, there's a God. I could also assume there's not. Just like I could assume there's a factory and I could assume there's not a factory. I don't know. Somebody could have just handmade this backpack.
True, but still, the bottom line would still be they made it.
Yeah. And again, it's just a personal preference. I don't really believe that religion necessarily has to be based in facts. It's more of a just kind of a belief in what you use to interpret what's around you. So it's an eternal piece to me. So
it could be, but it could also be objectively true, could it not?
I don't like to look at it that way. It's possible, and a lot of people who do claim themselves to be atheists completely just focus on the logic side, but in my opinion and when I've talked to other people, I kind of see logic and emotion as two different entities of the human body that don't really ever mingle together. So I really don't use logic to determine my faith most times.
So I didn't convert you?
Not today, but it's quite possible still.
Now, I said I wanted to go for two different parts of your brain. That was your intellect. I want to go to another realm of your brain right now. It's called your conscience. Okay. You know what that is? The angel and a devil telling you what to do, what's right, what's wrong. That little area in your brain that's a courtroom, all right? I want to go into there for a moment, and I want to see if your conscience is firing in all cylinders, all right?
All right. I like to see too, so.
All right, here we go. My friend, how many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime?
Do you need to count?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
All right. If I told a lot of lies, what very short word that rhymes with fire would you give to me?
A liar.
Fair enough. So you would agree that you are a liar?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Regardless of the value of the object, have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, one time.
One time, all right.
I tried to steal some...
Shit, don't, I don't want to get you in trouble here. All right, no confession time.
Oh, I got caught. I didn't win.
Okay, so you got busted. All right. So you, if you've stolen something, would be a...
A stealer, yeah.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be a thief.
True.
All right, so you're a lying thief. Now, don't have to answer this because it's none of my business, but I'm guessing you're a pretty typical guy. We sometimes have thoughts in our brain about other human beings sexually. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had those types of thoughts about anybody ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Murder. You ever killed anybody?
I've never killed anybody.
Have you ever been really torqued, really angry at somebody?
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I just asked you 5 questions, and I'm going to give you a summary, and you tell me if you agree with this. By your own admission, your conscience just professed guilt of lying, of stealing, of looking with lust, which is, the Bible says, would be adultery of the heart. You don't have to commit the act, but thinking about it indicates I've got the same type of attitude that is not acceptable or right. And if I'm just angry at somebody, the Bible says it's like you're a murderer in your heart. You don't strangle somebody by the neck. You might like to, and God sees those thoughts, and he counts them as violations of his law, which is why when we do get mad at people, sometimes our conscience goes, oh, I feel really bad about that, because we know that it's wrong to treat another human being like that. All right, so your conscience is telling us that you've done a lot of bad things, wrong things. I'm going to use a biblical term, sin. If God judged you right now, or he took your life and you stood before him, do you think that God would see you as innocent or guilty in his courtroom?
My guess would be innocent. And the reason why is because, so I am a liar, but I'm, on that same merit, I'm a truth teller the same way. I am a stealer, but I also purchase things. So it's a little bit of a gray area, but I don't intentionally ever seek the bad. Yeah. You know, and everything I do, I'm looking for the good, or I'm trying to better myself or somebody else, even if sometimes I do a bad thing.
Let me try to go back to that intellect part of your brain. All right, let's go to a courtroom on earth. And let's just say a criminal was standing before a judge, guilty of 4 or 5 major crimes, even minor crimes, irrelevant. And the judge found him guilty. He knew all the evidence. And he was ready to slam the gavel, but the guilty criminal protested. But, whoa, wait a second. I do good things, too. I help out in the community. I serve at the school and tutor kids for free. Would the judge dismiss his case based on some genuinely good behavior?
I'd assume not, but maybe they lighten the sentence.
That's possible. Nevertheless, if you were being judged by God and you broke those laws, that standard, regardless, and I'm sure you do nice things, you seem like a nice fellow, wouldn't he still conclude you're guilty?
I don't know. I'm not him, but I would hope that he would let me in. You know, if he is omniscient, he can see everything. He could see that I'm genuine and a good person. I mean, I'm not all-knowing, so I don't have that judgment. I wish I did. It would make my life a lot easier.
I actually do. I'm really good at judging everybody. It's a gift of mine. Yeah. All right.
All right. We have to interrupt here for just a bit, but we'll be back at it with Todd on this Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for being here. We do truly appreciate when you spend part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. If you're one who's wondered, is Wretched TV just like Wretched Radio? Well, no, there are pictures involved. It's only 30 minutes long, but it is hosted by Todd, featuring live witness encounters, discussions on tough theological issues, and various other topics that wander about the Christian community on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis. So yeah, it's sort of like Wretched Radio, only different. You really should see for yourself. You can check your local listings or get full Wretched TV episodes at the home of all things wretched, wretched.org/TV. And thanks very much to our gospel partners. They're the ones who make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you are a gospel partner, thank you very much. And if you aren't, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? Find all the details on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear him who controls nature.
But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's rejoin Todd now on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Let's say that there are 10 laws on a piece of glass, and you throw a rock through one of those laws and break that law. What's going to happen to the rest of the laws on the glass?
They stay sound.
Well, they're going to shatter.
Continuous,
one piece of glass.
Then I would assume they all shatter.
Yeah, that's what it means to break. You break one law, you're guilty of breaking the law. You're a law breaker, regardless of how many or how many good deeds. When somebody breaks the law, it just makes them a lawbreaker, whether it's 1 or 100 times. All right, so I'm going to try to keep going in your conscience for a moment. All right, let's just say that God is just, and he sees the intentions of our hearts. Think of it like this. If we could have a computer chip that we put into your brain that recorded every thought for a week, every thought, and then we took that chip out, and we gathered everybody here in the big student center, put up a big screen and put the chip in for people to see your thoughts. I know how I would feel. I would want to run underneath a rock and hide.
Everybody would.
Yeah, right? That's what God sees. Everything. So every deed done in darkness, every thought, not only that. You've said you've tried to do good for people, and I don't doubt you for a second, but the commandment to love is a really big burden, because that means you have to love everybody all the time as much as possible. And we haven't done that. So there we stand before God. You, just like me, just like everybody else, guilty criminals. If that is the case, we're guilty. We're lawbreakers. We've been rebels. Should God reward us or punish us?
Depends if he wants anyone in heaven. Because if he wants to punish one person for that reason, he's got no one there now.
Everybody's going to go.
Yeah, right. Probably everyone, yeah.
I think everyone.
That's the criteria that we're basing it off of. I don't know anybody who would fit that criteria.
I'm with you. I agree. In fact, I would go to the front of the line. Because not only, I don't want to brag here, but not only am I older than you, but I'm a much better sinner than you are. I'm certain of it. So I would be in very big trouble also.
You got a few years ahead of me that I can maybe catch up in time.
No, I'm just telling you. How old are you?
21.
Yeah, 21. I was a much better sinner than you. I'm just telling you. I was very good at sinning. All right. So now here's our situation. We're all guilty. There's a maker. He's got laws. He's a judge. He's going to make sure that there is no cold case, that every evil deed, every bad thing, every thought is going to be given an account for. And he's going to give us what we deserve, finding us guilty, sending us to hell. Now, here's the question. I'm trusting you know the answer to this, because you're from the Bible Belt. According to the Bible, what has God done so that you don't have to go to hell?
Jesus died on the cross for us.
Excellent. You're exactly correct. God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son came to earth, took on a human body just like yours and mine. He didn't break the laws. He didn't lust. He always honored his mom and dad. He always told the truth. He did everything righteously. He is God in flesh. We, his creation, that he keeps together and holds together and makes sure that we still live, killed him, put him on a cross, beat him, stripped him, spat on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, smashed them down, and had him suffocate to death on a cross. Let's go back to a courtroom. The gospel is very judicial. God is just. He must punish you. He must punish me. But he's also rich in mercy. So we've got a tension. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he wants to be merciful. But he can't just turn a blind eye to justice, because then he'd be complicit in the crimes. So to resolve that tension, he sent his son to live your life on your behalf, to take the punishment from God himself that you deserve upon himself, so that your sins could be forgiven. So that as you stand in the courtroom of God's justice, Jesus bursts through the door and says, I love that man. I'll take the punishment. God can dismiss your case. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago for you. Because God, despite your rebellion, loves you. And he wants to save you. And then he wants to go about the business of fixing your brain so it thinks the way that it was originally intended to think, like his. That is the good news of the gospel. Jesus died for you and me, a sinner. I know that you're an atheist or an agnostic, and you haven't studied the Bible a lot. Is there anything that you know of that would allow you to say, sir, you're wrong?
Wrong about religion?
About what I just said as an objective statement. Is there anything that you know or you've discovered that would say, that's just a fairy story. I think you're wrong.
I would never say that. I have no reason to, you know. The only issue I ever have with religion is when somebody tries to force another person to do something. You know, it changes their life in a way. You could sit here all day and talk to me about religion. I don't mind. It never affects me. The only issue is when somebody then tells you that person can't do anything because of so
discrimination, yeah, because of their religion. Sure.
Whatever it might be. So
or cutting off your head.
That would upset me.
But you wouldn't like me doing that.
I would have a frown, a severed head, but there'd be a frown on there. But so no, I'd have no reason to tell you anything is wrong. It doesn't bother me, you know. It doesn't affect me in any way. So if it helps you or if it helps me or whatever, I'm okay with it.
Let me leave our very polite, gentlemanly conversation with this thought. All right, might I encourage you? Don't think of what I just said as my subjective opinion. I would proclaim to you what I just said is objectively true for everyone. It's not just going to actually happen. This eternity that I'm imagining, a courtroom, heaven, hell, isn't just going to happen for me, but not for you because you don't believe it. If what I'm saying is true, you're going to be standing before God. He will open the books on your life. It is either true or it is false. I would encourage you to look at it through that lens. I personally would prefer that you said to me, look, I don't believe it. I disagree with you. I think you're wrong. As opposed to saying, as long as it works for you, that's fine. Because that...
You don't want me to be a fence sitter. I get it. Yeah. 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 You want me to have a firm stand. If it's an objective truth that will eventually happen, then we will know the objective truth when it happens. So if you say your stance is X and I say my stance is Y, and we will know when it happens, and we wait and see how it happens. That's the same way if we differ on a length, we measure the length. If we differ on a number, we look at the number. We can calculate that, right? We'll know eventually. So I would say we could put the argument on hold until that time comes, and then we'll know whose truth is the objective truth.
I don't totally disagree with that. There's just a little rub with it. Okay. If we wait until we die, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. You don't get to render a verdict if it's true or not. God's going to render a verdict on you. So I get your logic, but according to the Bible, God doesn't allow that as an option. This is the time, this is the place that we need to think it through and determine if we have a maker, if we have a savior.
Okay. Well, let's look at it this way quickly. So let's say we are playing roulette, right? You believe it will land on red. I believe it'll land on black. Put all my chips on black, you put all your chips on red. Me putting my chips on black does not affect your bet of putting them on red, correct? And my judgment, if God comes down, he judges both of us. He doesn't judge. Your judgment doesn't affect my judgment, correct? So we take it as a gamble and we see who wins.
Well, it's certainly not my judgment. But I think the difference here...
I meant God's judgment upon you.
Yeah. I think the issue is the difference between objective and subjective. Subjective is, look, you can believe what you believe. They can believe what they believe. Nobody's wrong. It's just my belief. That's subjective.
Well, in this case, there is someone who's wrong because one of us isn't going to be right.
Good for you. Dude, that's so radical for somebody of your age to say that today. I agree with you. One of us here is wrong, or we could both be wrong.
We could, we could both be right. Actually,
we can't be both right.
Yeah, they couldn't be right. But we cheered it as a bet. You know, one of us comes out on top, comes away with all the money. One of us is a loser, completely a loser.
Well, let me just encourage you, because I can't make you become a Christian. Okay, I can't make you love God, and I'm certainly not going to force you to do that. If you want to continue with the gambling metaphor, all right, take a look at the odds. Listen to your conscience. Is there never going to be an accounting that happens? Are we all just going to, is the guy who sawed a woman in half going to get away with it? Is there going to be no justice? Why do I have this nagging sense of guilt? Does the Bible resolve that tension? the purpose for my existence? Why am I here? Does the Bible resolve that tension? Can I intuit to a degree, okay, there's a sign and there's some instructions on the sign. I didn't see the guy who wrote it, but somebody wrote it because it's intelligent information, communicating information that I can receive. I can conclude from that sign maker. I should be able to conclude universe maker, human maker. So my encouragement to you is just think about it. You're on the campus. You're thinking through big thoughts. Just ponder it and consider if your worldview satisfies the big questions or if what I shared with you does. Fair enough?
Yeah, of course.
Dude, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for taking the time. Yeah, thanks. All right. See you. Goodbye.
Have a good one.
Goodbye. Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You were praying for him. We'll continue on a Witnessy Kind of Wednesday here on Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Protesters in U.S. cities defied curfews again last night, but most of the gatherings remained calm. The protest organizers have repeatedly implored that vandalism and fires weakened their calls for justice. Several state officials are also joining their conversation on reform now, and we will keep praying. The Christian Association of Nigeria issuing a statement calling on government officials to work to gain the release of Bishop Joseph Maseen, who serves as chairman of the Nasarawa State Unit, after gunmen abducted him from his home last week. According to CBN News, Maseen's captors rode motorcycles and snatched him from his home in the state capital of Lafia last Wednesday. According to a Nigerian news outlet, this day, the kidnappers have demanded 20 million Nigerian naira, which is about $52,000, as a ransom. In their statement, the Christian Association of Nigeria appeals to the government for help because they have no options to pursue his captors on their own. The statement also reminded leaders that this is the second time a Christian Association of Nigeria leader has been kidnapped this year. They said, "We will not accept losing another state chairman like we lost the late CAN chairman, Reverend Lawan Adimi, in Adamawa State, who was gruesomely murdered by terrorists while our security agencies appeared powerless, helpless, and derobed of their armor." And Adimi was executed after the Christian community couldn't come up with enough money to satisfy the ransom demands. And according to the Christian Post, sources said the pastor also refused to renounce his faith in Christ. The kidnappings come amidst growing violence against the Christian community in Nigeria. Boko Haram and Fulani radicals killed at least 1,000 Christians in 2019. In 2020, Islamic militants have already murdered 620 Christians. The U.S. State Department has added Nigeria to its special watch list for countries that tolerate severe religious freedom violations. Also, Open Doors lists Nigeria at number 12 on their World Watch list of countries where Christians suffer the worst persecution. Praying for our brothers and sisters. And here in the U.S., in Oregon, Portland officials in June of last year removed evangelist Mark Mayberry from the city's waterfront park, where he was holding a sign defending the unborn, distributing tracts, and engaging people in conversation about abortion and the gospel. Well, the city now has agreed to pay $50,000 to settle Mayberry's free speech lawsuit. Officials also agreed to provide additional training for police and park officers to prevent future infringements on First Amendment rights. I'd like to think maybe the progressive and open-minded residents we saw satirized in Portlandia might be a reality. I'd like to think that, but my cynical side just won't let me. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what He has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hit me, baby, one more. Oh, hi, we're on. Welcome to Wretched. We're at UGA jamming to Britney's hit, her greatest hit, her, to the best of my knowledge, only hit. What are we doing here? Well, we are passing out copies of, watch the magic hand. It was Thing, The Biggest Question, a gospel DVD. As we speak, on different university campuses around the country, 5,000 of these are being distributed. Witness encounters are happening. Open-air preaching is going on. Local churches passing out a gospel presentation that is clear. Today, 5,000. Thanks to you. We love it. But that's not the only reason that we're here. Wait a second. Did my hair just do like a big flippy thing? And I do tricks. We're going to try to talk to strangers about stuff, you know. Excuse me, young man. How are you? You look preoccupied. Are you deep into something or are you killing time?
I'm killing time right now.
So, if I asked you to spend some time with me, you wouldn't have any reason to reject me and make me feel horrible, would you?
No, I got 30 minutes about.
30 minutes. So much to talk about. What's your name, young man?
Grant Paris.
Nice to meet you, Grant. Where are you from?
Originally from Jacksonville, Florida.
But you're living here now?
Yeah, I live here now.
Yeah. And you like it here?
Yeah.
Is it more humid here in Atlanta, Athens, or down in Florida?
Oh, definitely in Florida.
It can't be worse. It's like living inside of somebody's mouth here.
No, right when you walk outside, you can't breathe in Jacksonville.
Like, it's so you basically need a straw wherever you go.
Yeah.
Get some air. And what are you studying here?
Finance.
Uh-huh. That would happen to be my wife's diploma. Yeah. So you're a bit of a numbers guy, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
Then answer this question for me, numbers guy. 2 + 2 = 74. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Even though it might make me feel bad.
Yeah, you're wrong. Yeah.
I believe that the President of the United States is Conan O'Brien. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I believe that there is a God. Am I wrong?
You believe that there is a God? Are you wrong? No, you're not wrong.
So there is a God?
Yes, there is.
You think so, do you?
I think there's an upper being of some sort, yeah.
Who do you think that upper being is?
No idea.
You don't know, but you. But then why did you conclude that there's something?
I mean, I grew up with that, and also, I mean, I just think it's, there's got to be, like, there's no way, there just has to be. I mean, I grew up with it, number one, but.
What did you grow up with?
Just.
Most likely Christian, if you're Florida.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was growing up in I grew up in the Lutheran church, and then I'm a Presbyterian now. So, yeah.
So you went from Lutheran, where you baptized your babies, to just sprinkling them a little bit.
Yeah.
That was the big change. What's the difference between Lutheran and Presbyterianism?
Well, with Lutheran, I don't remember it that much, but I feel like it's has more to do with an Episcopal church or Catholic. It's more serious. But with Presbyterian, my experience, they're a lot more open with it. But, I mean, I was a lot younger when we went to the Lutheran church.
So wouldn't you then, as a Presbyterian, say the upper being is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Trinity.
Yeah.
Now, is that belief that you possess, is that true?
I'm not very knowledgeable on the topic. Like, I'm not a super religious person. Are you saying did you repeat the question again?
This belief that you have about a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that belief true?
Is that belief true?
Or is it merely your belief?
I would say it's true. I mean, it really depends on how you look at Holy Scripture or anything. I mean, I mean, if this is a religious discussion, you're talking to the wrong person. Honestly.
That's, you know what? That's okay. But you grew up being raised in it, sort of. Now, yeah. as a young adult, how often do you go to church?
Easter, Christmas, the main three, I guess. Easter, Christmas, and some other one.
4th of July. I made that up because I don't know what the other...
The day after 4th of July.
The day after the 4th of July. That'd probably be on the Lutheran church calendar. They like to mark that stuff out a lot. All right. One word, and I'd like you to tell me as best you can, this isn't pass-fail, what is the gospel?
The gospel. One word?
Well, no, that's my one word, the gospel. Define it for me. What is it?
I mean... I know gospel music. Gospel, I don't know, honestly. I mean, I really don't know.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll share with you, and then you tell me if you agree or disagree. All right? I'm going to do a slightly circuitous route to get there, but just travel with me, and then when it's done, you can say whether or not you agree with the gospel. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right, because this might get a little dicey for you. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. I want to... go into your brain a little bit. I'm going to go around your intellect because it sounds like you've kind of concluded, you know, if there's a bench, there has to be a bench maker. If there's a creation, there has to be a creator. So you've kind of, you know, there's an upper being of some sort. But I don't want to go to your intellect area. I want to go to your conscience for a moment. The courtroom in your brain that tells you right and wrong, right? I want to kind of interrogate your conscience a little bit. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
My life? let's see. Well, average. Are we talking every single lie, like smallest lie to 24 a year? Probably 240, maybe a whole life.
All right, 240. That's a lot of lies.
I mean, that's just thinking two a month since I was 11. Just a number.
Okay, so since 11, why 11? Just because. All right, 240. Yeah, all right. Yeah. If you knew that I told 240 lies, what name would you give me that rhymes with fire?
Liar.
Okay, fair enough. Thieving, stealing stuff. You ever taken anything that didn't belong to you, regardless of value?
Yeah.
What would that make me... if I stole stuff?
A thief.
A thief. All right, I'm going to keep going, and you can just plead the fifth on this one if you want to. But I'm just going to guess you're pretty typical male. Thoughts in your head, desires, sexual desires for other human beings. You ever had any of those thoughts run around in your head? You can plead the fifth.
Yeah, I mean, I think every male around my...
I think so. I think so, too, right? Okay. Murder. You ever killed anybody?
No.
Have you ever killed somebody in your heart, meaning you just got mad at somebody? Jerk, horrible driver, loser?
Yeah, I mean, I've called somebody a name, yeah.
Like Clemson University?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you've thought, if you will, murderous thoughts. You didn't kill somebody, but you just had that same attitude of murder. All right. I'm going to take it a step further. Love. I presume you would say love is a good thing, correct?
Yeah.
And we should love. I agree with you. But if we're going to love perfectly, that would mean we have to love everybody all the time, perfectly, thoroughly. Have you met that standard for love?
I don't know. I don't... I think I'm wise enough to answer, honestly. I mean...
Well, this, you know, the fellow who's walking behind us right now, you'd have to, like, jump up, go, excuse me, enough of this talk. I got to go help that guy. You know, you got to love people and do everything that's right and loving and kind all the time. I know my heart. I'm not that way. All right. So here's what we just did. We just went into your conscience a little bit. Now, I want to take you into a courtroom with your conscience, having just admitted that... you're a liar, you're a thief, you're an adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart. I'm not convicting you of fornication or anything, but just thought life. You step into God's courtroom. He's holy. He's a righteous judge. And your books are opened as if he had a computer chip in your brain recording every thought, because, well, basically he has, without the computer chip. Every deed done in darkness opened up as you stand before the just judge of all the world. Would he find you innocent or guilty?
Of what?
Of being a criminal, a lawbreaker, or being a law-abiding citizen. Would he be innocent or guilty of breaking laws?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll definitely be guilty, but, yeah.
But,
I mean, in terms of, like, a religious aspect, then, I mean, I just feel like the whole thing is you're forgiven and all that stuff.
Yeah, I like that thought. But there's some tension with that. If a judge is being sympathetic with a criminal that he knows is guilty and he goes, but I'm just going to forgive, suddenly the judge is complicit in the crimes because he has not upheld justice.
Got to take a break on this Witness Wednesday, but we'll get right back to Todd on Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Don't know about you, but during these hard and difficult times, I'm getting really tired of hearing about these hard and difficult times. So, for some much-needed distraction, might I suggest a visit to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There you can find full-length Wretched TV episodes, full-length, hour-long Wretched radio shows, and the Wretched Store for all things of the biblical resources bent. While you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. Without the support of our Wretched gospel partners, you wouldn't be hearing my voice because, honestly, there would be no Wretched. Your giving allows Wretched to stay on the air and to reach people with the gospel each and every day. If you are already a gospel partner, please know that we are extremely grateful for you. And if you are not, would you consider becoming one? Visit wretched.org or wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate.
Good news? Yeah, lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get back to Todd. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
So if God just forgives because he's a nice God, he wouldn't be a just God. And the Bible says that he's just, and the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. So he can't simply say, ah, boys will be boys, I'm going to let them go. All right? You and I, because I'd step to the front of the line, I'd be guilty. You'd be guilty. What should God do with guilty lawbreakers? Reward them, take them to heaven, or punish them by sending them to hell? What should he do?
I don't know. I mean, I guess send them to heaven. I mean, it's just how you interpret the Bible and the scripture.
I understand. I'm just asking you to go with me on this, all right? If the scenario that I'm creating for you is accurate, if we're guilty, if God is just, that's bad news for us. That's why we have jails on earth and a justice system, because it reflects what's going on in heaven, where God is just, and he punishes lawbreakers. Now, I asked you the question. We've been kind of wandering around here a little bit, but the original question is, what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. At this moment, what is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
After what I've learned, I guess, hopefully he forgives me.
You go to Christmas service because that is the day that, what happened?
Oh, sorry. Jesus was born.
Boom. Okay. God took on human form and was born in a manger. Grew up, lived a perfect life, never broke any of those laws that you and I broke. Always loved perfectly and rightly. Always honored his mother and father. Never shaded the truth. No lust. Perfect righteous life. And our response to him was, we killed him. Stripped him naked. Spat on him. Beat him, whooped him, crown of thorns on the head, hung him on a cross to gasp for air and die. On the third day, you go to church on Easter. What happened on Easter?
Third day, he rose again. Like,
rose from the dead. All right. What was happening in that action, his death, burial, and resurrection, was a judicial, a courtroom event. We're the criminals. We're the lawbreakers. We're standing before the just judge. He knows we're guilty. He's about to sentence us and proclaim us guilty and then say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. When Jesus bursts through the door and says, I love him. I'll take the punishment that he deserves. And that's what he did on the cross. He bore the wrath, the punishment that you and I deserve so that we could be forgiven. Our court case can be dismissed, set free. But it gets even better. All the righteous deeds that he did, those get credited to your account too. So that you aren't just a forgiven criminal, you can be seen as the righteousness of God. And God can love you as much as he loves his son because of what his son did for you. That's the gospel. That's good news. And that's how God satisfies the tension of being just and loving and merciful. He's just, and he'll punish sin, but he's rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners like you and me. So to satisfy justice, he had his own son bruised on our behalf so that you could be let go and be restored to a right relationship with your God. That's the gospel. Now, here's the question, and this is the big one. Is everything that I just said to you true?
Everything you just said to me true. It might be true to some people. I mean, I don't know. It's just really how you interpret the Bible and God's word. I mean, that sounded good. No.
So. Are you familiar with the term postmodern?
Postmodern. I mean, I guess, yeah, you have to use it in a certain context.
Yeah. I'm a pre-modern. Because of my age and my beliefs, but you're a postmodern. Modernity was in the middle. Basically, a guy like me would say, that's what it is. It's either true or false. Postmoderns have a tendency to say, you know what? If it works for you, if it's true for you, then it's true for you. It's not true for me, and I believe something different. But we're both right because that's what we believe. Okay, that's what it's. You sound like a postmodern. Would that be a fair?
Yeah.
But I want to challenge you on that way to view the world, especially religion, because what I just shared with you was actually historical. That a man named Jesus Christ walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Records of him being crucified, eyewitnesses that he rose from the dead. That either happened or it didn't. So in other words, his message is either true or false. And the intensity of my belief will not make it true. It is either true based on what it is or it is false. And I would encourage you to make a decision about the Christian faith that it is either true or it is not. That would, because Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. If that's right, that's truth, or it's not. Render a verdict on Christianity based on those criteria. It's either true or false. Would that be a fair request to make?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to fight anybody over if they believe something else. Like, I mean, I can say that's true all day, but I mean, somebody else, I mean, that dude over there can say, like, I don't.
He believes in a rock.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
No, I agree. He can. Nobody should be cutting off anybody's head, right?
Yeah. That's.
But I could still say if he believes in a rock and Jesus claimed that he made the rocks and he owns the rocks and he's the only true and living God, then I could say without hurting him, he's wrong.
Yeah, you can say he's wrong by your means, yeah.
But here's, one more time, I'm gonna challenge you on this. Determine if he's wrong and if I'm right, not based on my means or my beliefs or my perspective, but on whether or not it is factually true or not. Because if what I'm saying is true, and if you reject that and don't repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ and live for him, then regardless of what you believe, you are going to be brought into that courtroom and you are going to face God and he is going to slam the gavel and you're going to be miserable forever. So that's my belief in that isn't going to make that happen. That's either going to happen or it is not going to happen, regardless of what I say. Judge whether or not the Christian faith is a verity, a truth, or not. But don't say it's just a personal belief. Is that a fair request?
Yeah, I mean, is this the, like, the final conclusion? I feel like you're taking a bunch of little chops.
You can jump in. No, you can jump in and say anything you want to.
I'm not trying to
chop or do anything.
A bunch of short ways to get to a long way, like get me to agree to a bunch of things that seem wrong.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then have a big conclusion that originally I wouldn't agree to. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not like, all right, decide right now. I'm not doing that. I just want to encourage you to filter what I just said to you through the filter of truth, of what is right, what is wrong, not the filter of it's just personal belief. Okay?
Yeah, I get it. I can see what you're saying.
That's all I'm asking you to do. So I don't have a card that I want you to sign and become a member of my cult or whatever. I just want to challenge your postmodern thinking to say, render a verdict on the truth of the Bible. Is it true or is it false? That's what I'm encouraging you to do. That's all.
I see. I understand.
Because I know I know the generation that you're in. That's really not the way you have been processing most stuff. That's just not the way that typically it works. I'd like to challenge you to give it a go and try and just think it through a little bit. That's all.
I understand. Yeah.
All right, so you're going to sign the card?
Of course.
All right. Hey, young man. Yeah. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
All right. You take care. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Hey, wait a second. I will give you this, though. You can watch that. It's a DVD. Oh, cool. Wait, very handsome actor is on that.
What are you guys a part of?
We are a part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm just kidding. We're not. we're not. We're a Christian TV show. That's what we do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can watch that. You'll see who we are and what we're all about.
All right,
mate. Yeah. Thank you very much. You did great. And thanks, you know what? Thanks for manning up. It's, you know, that was a tough conversation. There's a difference of worldviews. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
Good time.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt you again because I know you're praying for him. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.